It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me, better late than never. Well, I might have been eating cake, but Laura Ingraham was eating crow, child. And not in a good way. She had to apologize to the Parkland students like they wanted to hear anything from her. Like we would believe that was sincere. It's okay to bash kids who their whole, I don't want to say claim to fame, but the only reason we know who they are is because they and their friends were shot at and or massacred. It was not a Julie Brown song, Everybody Run. The homecoming queen really did have a gun. Okay, and so they probably no longer or no more wish to be famous than Laura Ingraham wishes that they were. Okay, so let's just get that out there. You know, these Parkland kids, they don't want to be famous. You know, at least not for being shot at, not for having friends die right in front of them, heads blown off, arms blown off, body parts flying hither and thither, stuff to make them need therapy for the rest of the damn lives. That's not, they didn't want to be famous for that. But Laura Ingraham felt a need to bring on Mr., is it Fogg, I believe? I just followed him on Twitter. And last night, I was, after the show, I was getting high on wonderful cannabis from Viper Black. And I was looking at different stories, and it said that Laura Ingraham attacked a Parkland survivor who then called for a boycott of her advertisers. And he very smartly gave a list with links to their Twitter accounts. So I and thousands of other people tweeted to all the companies on his list that it is time they drop Laura Ingraham like a hot potato. Now, you know, I've been fired from a radio station for people disagreeing with me or for thinking I don't belong there or whatever. So I am very sensitive to silencing a member of the media. I don't think that Rush Limbaugh, I did not think that Rush Limbaugh should be off the radio. I was not happy when Rush Limbaugh went deaf, as people thought I would be, until I found out he did it to himself with OxyContin. Before there was Prince, there was Rush Limbaugh. So, you know, I think there's room for everybody out there, okay? And if you find an audience, look, Andrew and I, when we were on KFI Radio, Tom Metzger was a huge fan of our show. He called in, he wrote me letters, he wrote me emails, and I hated it, and I felt creepy that he actually liked us. Tom Metzger, if you Google him, was a person up on charges because they said he told other members of the KKK and the skinheads to go and harm other people. This guy was a skinhead, a member of the KKK. He was not a nice person. And yet, he listened to Carell and Andrew. Okay? And I didn't like that. And I thought, if he wants to have a talk show, let him go have a talk show. And if he gets an audience. And there are so many talk shows out there that you don't know about. There are so many talk shows out there that a majority of people do not know about and probably never should. There are white supremacists with talk shows. There are people that, you know, tell you to take, you know, this hormone or that hormone, going on for hours about it, whatever. There's all kinds of talk shows that you don't know about. It's time Laura Ingraham become one of them. Because when you pick on a teenager whose only reason for being in the public eye is that he's tired of having him and his friends killed, and all your little pretty ass has done is sit up at Fox News and collect millions of dollars, never been shot at, never had real adversity, never wondered if you were going to live or die, just if your ratings were going to be good or something. When you're going to attack that person, there's no room for you on the air. You know, I was telling Brandon and Kurt, who are up here in Vegas, we're filming live in segments, and I was telling them I started that social network to together with .me. And I said, the only rule is that you have to be like-minded. You have to at least be a decent human being and be a nice and somewhat educated individual. When I say educated, I don't mean book smart. I mean just you get it, you know, you get it, or you get most of it. Laura Ingraham doesn't get it, okay? Fox News doesn't get it. Now, they've attacked gays forever, and nobody cared. And they're the most sexist, raping network around. Why they're not shut down as a rape house, I don't know. But then again, why the Catholic Church still exists, I don't get. But whatever. You know, brothels are illegal in most states, but the Catholics have churches in most places. I don't get that. But whatever. Her time has come. That kind of journalism, which is what they're calling it, there's no place for it. And there's no place for her. And as someone who prior to this would never say that about anybody, okay, because I really believe in the First Amendment. I really do. Not as much as the Facebook, former Facebook, I guess, or Facebook CFO, C something, head of something. A memo came out from him we're going to talk about later that basically said even if people die, so long as Facebook endures and we connect people, then it's all for the public good. Well, you see, that argument doesn't fly with me. And that's up with Laura Ingraham. Like, people think that Fox News gets to exist because it's for the public good. No, it ain't. Sometimes, you know, we say we have freedom of speech, but you ain't going to see a white supremacist or whatever up on ABC, NBC, CBS. You will see one on Fox. But you won't see them on the majors, on the legacy networks. You won't see them on CNN. You know, you won't. They'll shut someone down if they start going down the anti-Semitic, you know, anti, you know, whatever route. They'll just shut them down. So you won't see that. So we silence speech all the time. And it's time we silence Laura Ingraham. Because an apology after your advertisers threatens you is as hollow as the brain you say you have in your head. You know? I mean, if Laura Ingraham believes for a moment, and she, in her apology was priceless. Oh my God, it was priceless. It said in the spirit of Holy Week, because, you know, Sunday's Easter, the day of the zombie, El Dia de los Zombies. She said in the spirit of Holy Week, she wishes him well. And, you know, hey, a 4.2 GPA is something to be proud of. And, oh my God. So she could only apologize because Sunday, a mythical being, rose from the dead. So in the spirit of Rise from the Dead Week, I'll apologize to the kid whose friends were killed because I mocked him in front of millions of people and made fun of him because I thought that was appropriate. Wow. Wow, Laura. You know, Dr. Laura was a miscreant. Now, she was a nice miscreant. She liked Andrew and I, listened, called into the show a few times. But she was a miscreant. That's why she's gone. Laura Ingraham. So it appears the name Laura, when it's on radio, has a problem. Because Laura Ingraham. Sorry. You know? Time for you to go. Time for Fox to go. Time for all advertisers to pull off Fox. Time for those kids to just zero in on Fox News. Time for those kids to meet with Justice Souter, who has now said it's time for to repeal the Second Amendment. It is time, as Thomas Jefferson once said, for some progress of the human effing mind. Okay? So that's all I got to say about Laura Ingraham. Eat your crow, Laura. Have it. You know, you obviously ain't a vegan. Eat your crow, Laura. Because as far as I'm concerned, what you did, that is in for... You know, I've done some things on radio. And I got in a lot of trouble. The second one that I did that was horrible, they said, was unforgivable, and I got fired. During a break, when John McCain said, I am going to take Joe the plumber all the way to Washington with me, during a break, I said, F Joe the MF plumber, I hope Joe the effing plumber drops effing dead. The first night on the job engineer let that go out during the break. Bill O'Reilly got it. Fox News got it. They made a big deal out of it. For 3 days, I was all over Fox News. Liberal host issues death threat against, you know, blah. Oh, it was so crazy. I got death threats. A plumber's wrench thrown through my window that said die fag. Die of AIDS written on my garage door with AIDES spelling AIDS. I mean, they're nothing if not consistent. And so I got fired for saying something during a break that offended a mythical plumber who didn't even exist. Okay? That's why I got fired for my livelihood. That's what drove me into having to have my house modified. That's what drove me onto unemployment. No station would hire me after that. I had to start my own podcast. I was persona non grata, except Green 960 and Energy. Don Parker, God bless him, put me on the radio. Mark Acton was my engineer. Much love to him. And think about the crimes of Laura Ingraham. And she gets to stay on the air. During a break, I offended a mythical plumber, you know, and just say he should just drop dead, this mythical plumber, and I get fired. Not because of the obscenities. They were never fined. Laura Ingraham is obscene. And I've always said that the FCC should actually redefine what is obscene. It is obscene to attack a 17-year-old kid whose friends were killed and was shot at. That's obscene. That is obscene. And the advertisers think so because they bailed. Hulu bailed. Nestle. I've got Arrowhead water up here in the house. I tweeted Nestle last night and said I will take it out tomorrow unless they leave that show. I told Hulu, no, we're done unless you leave that show. Well, it worked. I'm omnipotent. No, but this kid did it. And he got her to issue an apology, which he should not accept. You know, we shouldn't forgive these people anymore. What she did is actually unforgivable. Me, during a break, saying F a mythical plumber, that's forgivable. Okay? Laura Ingraham consistently attacking victims time after time again, talking about crisis actors, Sandy Hook. They just go after anybody and everybody that doesn't think or fit their narrative. Well, it's time that the people with the money say no, because that's how we end it. When the people with the money say, we're not going to support that, and that's what these kids can do. They can now get corporations to choose. Side with kids who were almost murdered, or side with these people spreading hate.
If you're not visiting reallycorrell.com daily, you're missing out. Get the podcast, videos, and the blog, including recipes at reallycorrell.com. That's really, K-A-R-E-L.com.
Hey, it's Carell. Not only can you watch me each and every week on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. Don't forget tonight, Free Speech TV, Episode 2, Season 4, Carell Life in Segments. Tune in. I think it's at 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern on Free Speech TV. If you don't get Free Speech TV, go to freespeech.org and watch the live player right there. Episodes 1 and 2 will be up next week at lifeinsegments.com, and you can, of course, watch them there. Meanwhile, all three seasons previous are already there. Also, thank you, and all of you that have donated, and Patreon and everything, and you'll be getting an email from me about the future and special Patreon perks, so look for that in your Patreon. No after shows because my voice, and next week I'm on vocal rest. He wanted me to go this week, by the way. And I said, look, I just can't pull together. I can't do that. I have obligations. I have got to. Then he's like, is there any way you could do less? And I said, well, I can cut out the after show each day. That cuts out 17 minutes. So he was like, do that. I'm like, okay. We were going to talk about Delta. You know, Andrew and I flew Delta once to Hawaii, first class round trip. I don't know how we paid for that. I think it was upgrade miles. It was upgrade miles. But it was great fun. And on the way back, Andrew got tipsy on the free booze in first class. And it was a nighttime flight, and we had sex. Oh, yes, we did. Not full-on sex, but Bill Clinton-type sex, meaning oral, in first class on Delta Airlines. No one knew. No one said a word if they did. I think we were pretty discreet about it. You know, you're almost in like your own private little room there. You've got these two seats that are enormous next to each other. And anyway, so yes, we had sex on the Delta flight. Well, it appears if you do that and get caught, they want to prosecute you like you are frickin' Torquemada, because we're Puritans. A woman was giving a 40-something-year-old woman was giving a 27-year-old man that she just met oral sex on the Delta flight. I say, go, sister. Go, honey. Young looks and tastes good. And you were like, I'm having me an in-flight snack. Oh, yes. Power to the girl. She's like 54, and he's 28. Power to the woman, honey. She got it. She got it. Okay? She was getting it. Or giving it, actually. And he was happy about it. It appears, however, others weren't. Which, why? Would you turn someone in for having oral sex on your plane? I'm being serious.
You're listening to The Carell Show.
Carell. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1870. That was the day the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was adopted. It was the third of the Reconstruction Amendments. It prohibited voting restrictions on the basis of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Premier historian Eric Foner states that the Reconstruction Amendments reflected, quote, a newly empowered national state and the idea of a national citizenry enjoying equality before the law. These legal changes also arose from the militant demands for equal rights from former slaves themselves. The bulk of Southern states refused to ratify, but then capitulated. Interestingly, New York sought and failed to revoke its earlier ratification. The amendment split the women's suffrage movement for its failure to codify women's voting rights. Some radical Republicans also abstained on the basis that it did not also prohibit poll taxes and literacy tests. Immediately, the 15th Amendment came under attack. The Ku Klux Klan terrorized black voters and Reconstruction governments for years. One of the most extreme examples was the 1873 Colfax Massacre. After the Compromise of 1877, President Rutherford B. Hayes refused to enforce civil rights protections. The rise of discriminatory Jim Crow laws effectively disenfranchised Southern blacks for nearly a century. Congress would finally enforce the 15th Amendment fully through the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965. However, the act has come under attack most recently, as in the 2013 case Shelby v. Holder. Jurisdictions with histories of voter restrictions no longer have to obtain preclearance before implementing changes to voting laws and practices. Over 150 years after the end of the Civil War, African Americans are still fighting to protect their right to vote. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
There's something very organic and fabulous about the ritual of tea. Every day when I have it, and I have it twice a day every day, at least twice a day, when I have it in the morning around 6:30, well, it's set to make at 5:45 in the Breville Tea Maker. And so when I get up at 6, it's ready. And when I eat around 6:30, I have my tea right there afterwards. And it's a breakfast tea, an organic breakfast, English breakfast, Irish breakfast, then an or a Darjeeling. Then in the afternoon, I have an Earl Grey or a Pride of the Port or a Pu'er, some sort of tea. And later in the night, I might have an herbal like a chamomile or even a green tea. And when I reach for those teas, they're all in the Mighty Leaf or the Pete's cans. That's just what I've been drinking for the last decade. Tea is really important to me. I would not choose bad tea just because they were giving it to me or it was free or whatever. I just wouldn't do it. That's why if you are serious about tea or if you want to try and get serious about tea, get yourself some Mighty Leaf and Pete's Tea and start drinking your way to health immediately. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Just a programming note. Until I am settled in Maison Boulay, my new condo, until I have my studio, which is going to be over the next 4 weeks, the showtime is going to be up in the air. It's probably going to be mostly in the evenings right now because I'm in Vegas and I don't go out at night. But it's going to be mostly in the evenings right now. Until I get back into the regular, you know, swing of things. My days are very full of trying to organize a new life. And I need to make that a priority. I got to do it. Couple things I got to do. I got to go to an ophthalmologist to make sure that I didn't hurt my eye when I smacked myself in the head with the damn bed frame. Because I keep thinking I did. I just have this fear I'm going blind. It's like, oh my God, I'm going blind. Because that's a fear when you get hit, struck in the eye, you know? So anyway, Today, I got in some new clothes because I ordered from Macy's. And they were size 34, 29. Okay? And I looked at the pants and thought, you can't fit in those. And what do you know? I did. And I cried because they looked so little when I held them up, the 34, 29s. I'm like, who is this person? That's not me. And there it was. Me. So I went out and ate lots of fattening food. So that's it. I bought all new pants that are 34, and tomorrow I will be a 36. But it's not quite that fast. But I did find a great Indian restaurant. Leaf. Oh, where was it? It's on Fort Apache. Curry Leaf. That's the name of it. Wonderful food. All right. Well, you know, the VA thing. All I have to say is Trump wants to privatize it. The Republicans want to privatize it. It would be the worst thing ever for veterans to privatize the VA. And they want to privatize it. And that's why he fired the guy from the VA. Because the guy at the head of the VA didn't want to privatize it. Thought it would be an error. I heard him on NPR this morning. He was like, I didn't want to privatize it. But the president does. And he wouldn't be clear on that. But he does. It's obvious. He does. They want to privatize everything. Medicare, all this. So big business can make the money. So they want to open up more channels to their pockets from the government. You know, that is rich people's whole goal. You know, how can I open up the most revenue streams from the biggest cash cow, into my pockets? And so if they privatize veterans care, which they say, oh, it'd be so much better. Yeah. How many of you are really happy with your insurance company? Raise your hand. How many of you think you get the ultimate best care from your insurance company? Yeah, right. Right. As we have people in front of the California Insurance Commission now talking about how, of course, they just processed the forms without even looking at the medical conditions and denied the claims. They just went through and denied procedures without so much as looking at the medical records. And so now Aetna's everybody's under examination because you really did this? Well, of course they did this. You know they did this. You've had to fight your insurance company to get something you've wanted. Let's just be real. So we want veterans to have to do this too? Sure, let's privatize it. Great idea. What a bunch of effing morons. And that's what he wants to do. And that's why he fired the guy at the head of the VA. So just know that. That's that. That's that. And also, I got to tell you, it's pretty hysterical. He's firing people on Twitter. And there's a whole story at Forbes about how for a real company and for real HR, that would be a huge problem. Privacy issues, all kinds of issues. To just show how much of an idiot that man is, such a great businessman, right? He's firing people in a way that he did on reality television, not in real business, which proves he's not real. You know, tonight at dinner at Violet's Vegan, I told Brandon, you know, we're in a red state here, and we are, and I don't care. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I have nothing but contempt for him. I have nothing but contempt for people who follow him. It's obvious what he's trying to do. He's an impetuous child who embarrasses people, millions of people, you know, on Twitter. The man is a moron. And as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better that a blood clot just finds him. I mean that. I wish nature all that food he eats. God, please, just clog him up once and for all. Oh, you don't want President Pence. Maybe somehow the clot will migrate. I don't know. I just know that he's an embarrassment. He's decimating government, and now he's going after the VA. He's going to try to privatize it. You wait and see. All right, when we come back, the FBI is being investigated. Isn't that just a kick in the head? The FBI is being investigated. And I'll tell you why, and it's hysterical.
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.
Hey, it's Carell. Not only can you watch me each and every week on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com, but you can stream me each and every day right here on the Progressive Voices Network, as well as my own dedicated app and all streaming services. Now, here's a little of what you're missing. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me on this whirlwind cavalcade of what I call the Carell Cast, heard each and every day. Megyn Kelly is a hoe. Let me rephrase. Megyn Kelly is an ignorant... No, Jane, you ignorant... That was Jane. Jane, you ignorant... Yeah, so that's... Okay. We have to think of what Megyn Kelly is. Megyn Kelly was interviewing the cast of Will & Grace on her new Hour of the Today Show, right? The whole cast, because they come back tomorrow night. And they had a super fan, someone that loved Will & Grace, and they had flown them out to see the taping and everything. So Megyn Kelly looks at this super fan, who's gay and a lawyer, and says, not making this up, well, Will & Grace might be responsible for a lot of the progressions that we've done in gay rights. And then she looked at this guy and said, do you think that Will & Grace influenced you to be gay and a lawyer? I mean, she said that. Do you think Will & Grace influenced you to be gay and a lawyer? Yeah. And then at the end of the interview, she said, well, it looks like the gay and lawyer thing is going to work out for you. She said that. After the taping, Deborah Messing took to Twitter and said, We did not know that Megyn Kelly was going to be the person interviewing us. We just were told we were doing the Today Show. So we didn't know, did we, Ember? And Deborah Messing said, we wish we hadn't done the Today Show. We wish we hadn't done it. Now, why isn't she fired immediately? To ask someone, did Will & Grace influence you to be gay? I would have looked at her and said, no more than you're influencing me to be a white titled entitled cunt. That's what I would have looked at her and said. But I'm me and not the person that was on television. But that's what I would have said. Sorry. Did it in So why? Why is she working? What inspired me to be gay? Sequins, bugle beads, penises. These are all things that have inspired me to be gay. Mainly the last. But the first are fun too. Sequins, bugle beads, oh yes. And penises. Penises are lovely. I wish I had seen one in the last 2 years that wasn't my own. But I haven't, but I keep hoping. Because they're lovely little things. Or big things, medium things. Or some are pointy, some go this way, that way. Some. I hate the ones that really curve. You never know how to deal with that. I mean, do you go like this way? Or do you come around this way? Do you have them stand around the corner? And then, I mean, so those you never really know what to do.
Whether you're listening to me, Mark Levine, each Monday and Wednesday.
Or me, Leslie Marshall, each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
You can hear us 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Here's a sample of what you'll hear. Tom Steyer's in the House. He's founder of Need to Impeach and Next Gen America, your Need to Impeach campaign. What was it that set you off to do this?
It wasn't something that I sought out to do. It just seemed like, my goodness gracious, no one seems willing to tell this incredibly important truth, which is that we have a president who's breaking the law on a daily basis, who is dangerous to us, who does not do his job as commander-in-chief, and for some reason, other elected officials don't want to call him out on it. I mean, they say mean things about him, but they don't really want to do anything, take any action that would prevent him from doing what he's doing.
Your digital army, Tom, is now one of the biggest and most influential in the Democratic Party. What do you say to somebody who says, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute, yeah, he needs to be impeached, but signatures aren't going to get Congress to impeach. I'm going to make it twofold. And does a Republican majority in the House and the Senate have the guts or the backbone to impeach him, even if obstruction of justice was proven by special counsel Robert Mueller?
What we believe in is the power and wisdom of the American people and broadly. And if you look at everything that our organization does, it's all about registering, engaging, encouraging, and enabling participation by as many people in our system as possible. That's what we do. We're a grassroots organization, probably the biggest in the country. But what we're doing with this impeachment campaign is the exact same thing. We're not going to elected officials. We're going to American citizens and saying, if you agree with us, put your name down, because together our voice really matters. Because the truth of the matter is, this isn't a partisan campaign, it's a patriotic campaign. The fact of the matter is, if Mr. Trump were impeached and convicted and thrown out of office, the President of the United States would be Mike Pence, a Republican. What we're saying is the only way that Mr. Trump will get thrown out of office is not because elected officials decide on it, even though technically that's how it works. The way that he'll get thrown out of office is if the American people, on a broad basis, say he has broken his faith with us and he has to go because he is not representing us and he is dangerous to us. And when that happens, then the same thing will happen that happened in 1974 with President Nixon, which is the elected officials will think either we throw him out or they throw us out. But it really will be the will of the American people, and I think that's completely appropriate in this situation because you have people argue about the way this election in 2016 went, but you have an elected president, and you really need the will of the American people to act.
Again, that's Mark Levine every Monday and Wednesday.
And Leslie Marshall each Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II, for those of you in the know. Please join me at togetherwith.me, my own personal social network. That's right. It's a social network for just you and me. Togetherwith.me. Come get togetherwith.me, as you do each and every day here at the Carellcast, which may come late, but it comes every day. And I'm sorry, but you know, I'm not sorry. I used to do 10 to 1, and you guys used to listen. I used to do 7 to 10 and you guys listen, so I'm a little later these days. It really helps me. It helps my schedule, so thank you so very much for that. All right, Tesla had a bright future. Now some wonders if it has one. What? It had to recall some cars, replace a mechanism. God, everyone, oh, the end of the world. The end of the world. Jeff Sessions says a federal prosecutor investigating GOP claims of FBI misconduct. That is so rich. That's what I was laughing about. First of all, I have maintained all along that the FBI must be the most, you know, Viagra turned 20 yesterday, women. I bet you're thrilled to hear that. Oh, women, I bet you're just joyously happy that Viagra turned 20 yesterday. Discovered by accident, by the way. How was that an accident? I think they discovered it as a side effect to a blood pressure pill. I really do. I think that's what was the thing. Or a heart pill. And what do you know? Suddenly he realized, oh, look, a party. Take the pill, have a party. So it turned 20 yesterday. That's, you know, I don't even know how I feel about Viagra. I think that women, their wives or the husbands or the spouses or whatever should have to approve whether the person gets it or not. That's the way I am. It's like, well, maybe they were happy the way things were. Who knows? Who can say? But anyway, that was just a funny side note, by the way. Viagra did turn 20 yesterday. It truly did. 20 years of that little blue pill. How much money have they made from that? But anyway, it brings up the topic of impotence because I really believe the FBI has become the most, I think they should be investigated for being the most impotent, you know, entity around. They've been attacked every way from Sunday. You know, their leader has been besmirched, a great lovely word. I mean, all these different things have happened at the FBI, to the FBI, about the FBI, and they ain't released dossiers on anybody. They don't have anything on Melania. They ain't got nothing on Donald. Donald J. Trump, they ain't got nothing on him at the FBI. Why hasn't that leaked? Come on. All the Republicans going after them. They ain't got anything on these people? Then they shouldn't be the FBI. I'm with Hoover on this. I am so with Hoover on this. The FBI should be able to shut down any politician coming after them because they know more about them. Why not? Wouldn't you love the FBI's file on Donald Trump to be public? Wouldn't you love that? They know whether or not he did this stuff with the Russians. They know whether or not he has hookers doing weird things to him. They know. But they're saying, oh, we need a special prosecutor to investigate FBI misconduct. Because one person said, they went to the FISA court and they didn't tell the truth and they got a warrant to listen to Donald Trump or his campaign or somebody or something and we don't like it. And we want to do everything we can to make sure you're not looking at the Russia camp, the Russia, you know, real probe. The real Russian probe. We met Russians this evening on our walk and we all bristled. We're like, oh, their language. It's like, oh my God, we're so American. We just have been trained to hate Russians. I love Russians. I love them. I love their food. I love their culture, at least in San Francisco, what I know of it. I've never been to Russia. I may not like it there. And I hate Chechnya. But they've always been nice to me, the Russians. So FBI is being investigated for misconduct. First of all, there are so many criminals that would laugh about the term FBI misconduct. What is a semi-secret organization's code of conduct exactly? And who gets to set that? I mean, really, the FBI operates in the shadows at best. You kind of don't know what they do, where they do, how they do it, what they really handle, what they don't really handle. You're not really all up to speed on the FBI, you know, any much more than you watch the television. And that's pretty much it. And so for me, for the FBI to be being investigated by the Trump administration, the filthiest organization to come out of wherever and inhabit Washington in forever, and they're going to investigate the FBI. So you don't look at the Russian investigation that's going on. Smoke and mirrors. The FBI. Oh my God. Misconduct. I imagine the FBI has murdered many people. I imagine they've tortured people. I would imagine the FBI knows some secrets that if we knew, we'd be really upset about. I would imagine that because they are the FBI. Now, why don't they have something on Donald Trump? Please, for the love of God, if you do, it's time to release it. Don't you all think? Think it's time? I think it's time. You know, there's a story that keeps popping up. I can't ignore it because what is y'all's fascination with these kinds of stories? The story keeps popping up of a guy that had 30-pound belly fat, or so he thought, and ended up being a tumor. A tumor. A 30-pound tumor. He lost all this weight, and his belly stayed fat. And he was like, Doc, what's up? What's the, you know, what gives? And the doc felt around, looked around. They cut around. And finally, they came back and were like, dude, you have got a 30-pound tumor. It's not funny. I mean, he was terrified, obviously, and he, you know, thought he was going to die. They took the tumor out. He's fine. But the reason I brought that story up is, A, it's popping up everywhere, okay? But we're missing the point of that story. The point is he knew something was wrong with himself, and so he kept going back until they found what was wrong. He didn't just patently agree with the doctor. He didn't just patently agree with their, you know, patient plan. He advocated on the part of himself like it was important to him, and he got something done. And that's, I don't see that in today's world that much, where you advocate on behalf of yourself. So when I saw that story in the news, I thought they're missing the point. The point is that he was told, oh, it's just fat, go home and diet, you know, exercise. And he did, and it didn't work. The fat stayed. And so he thought there's got to be, you know, a reason. And then they found out, yeah, it's a tumor. But he believed that something was wrong, and it was. You know, what else is in the news that just struck me? I still can't get over the FBI being investigated. A special prosecutor is investigating the FBI. Are they going to go back and like deal with all the cover-ups and scandals and, you know, stuff they've ever been involved in? Or are they only interested in what was happening with Donald Trump and how they can prevent that from getting into anyone else's hands? Because it sounds like to me the Trump administration wants like their own FBI. Not to go back to the FBI. But it sounds like they want their own. When the FBI wouldn't get in lockstep with him, you know, they fired people, they did this, they did that. Now they're having them investigated because they want their own FBI. That's what they want. Donald Trump wants to be the commander-in-chief of not just the military, but the military intelligence as well as the FBI and the CIA, I'm sure. And he's not. But he wants to be. And so this is a way to say, hey, FBI, if you investigated me, I'm going to smack you around. I'm going to make you my witch. Ick. Oh, doesn't it just make you want to weep? I mean, really, the state of affairs in the United States today is like boo-hoo sad. It's just boo-hoo sad. Stephen Clark's funeral was today, by the way, if you're in California, you certainly know of that, in the Sacramento area. You know, I read some stories about the brother who shut down the council meeting with his profane rant. And they really concentrated on the profanity. And here's this black guy, you know, going off. And I just wondered if their, you know, cousin, brother, sister, whatever, had been shot over 20 times for really no reason. No gun, no nothing, just a cell phone, you know. How would you behave? So they're going to chastise him. And what about the brother of the Parkland? You know, we talked about the Parkland kids helping to get Laura Ingraham. Well, now she has to apologize, but I think she should be off air. The shooter in Parkland, his brother or half-brother, whatever, went and tried to see some of the victims, went back on campus. They arrested him. Now he's got a $500,000 bond that he can't post. They're saying it's excessive because you're trying to punish him for the brother. Meanwhile, the brother, the Parkland shooter, has gotten over 100, dropping my microphone, over 100 pieces of mail a day. Snail mail. People are actually taking the time. There are some people who, you know, just chicken scratch. They won't write anything. You know, they won't write anything, but they're writing him. And some are men, some are women, some want dates, some want to give him money, some support him, some say, oh, you're not all bad, some say, you know, I don't like how the media is portraying you. They're writing someone who went into a school and shot many people sympathetically. I don't, you know, I guess it takes all kinds. Would I censor that? Would I say they can't do it? No, I guess not. It's a free country, right? If you want to write to a person who went into a school and mowed people down while he's in jail, I guess you can. And I guess we have to allow it, right? That's what it means. But it's just kind of an icky, icky thing. Just icky. So I don't, and the brother, I don't know what his cause is. The Parkland shooter's brother. I don't know if he's trying to just contact the victims and give them a hug. I don't know if he wants to apologize. Is he as angry as the other brother? No one knows. And since no one knows, they're like, no, stay away, stay away, stay away. They're making ordinances about him, I guess. All right. Was the NRA founded to protect black people from the Ku Klux Klan? That's at Snopes. No, it was not. But see what people will believe? Now there's a whole section at Google called Fact Check because there's just so much crap out there. It's just, you know, crap. That's why on my website, togetherwith.me, you can't post fake news. I can post HTML, but you can't. You can post photos, you can post videos, but you're not posting links. And no need. You can discuss stuff. You know, that's fine. Just like in real life. Discuss it. Argue even. Friends don't always get along, but remain civil. And know that at the end of the day, you're still friends. America forgot that, didn't it? America has really forgotten that at the end of the day, of all the debate and the rancor, at the end of the day, we're all supposed to be Americans. We're all supposed to at least like each other for that. We forgot that. Because there's never end of the day, right? The day now, in terms of news cycle, in terms of, you know, politics, everything, there's never an end of the day. There's just a never-ending day. And it has not served us well. All right, tomorrow is Friday. I'm excited there's a new Steven Spielberg movie coming out. It's called Ready Player One. I have not read the book because I'm a grown-ass man. I'm told it's one of his best in a decade. I think I'm going to go see it. I think Ember and I are actually. Are you going to go see it? I think she and I are going to go see it. Also tomorrow again, the show will probably be late. We are filming. It might be early though. We're filming, so just check my social media, which is Twitter and Instagram. I don't have a Facebook account, and I will tell you why. I felt good about that decision today. I deleted the account several days back because Zuckerberg is evil. And Facebook is evil. And now, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see there's even proof of that. And I'll show you or talk to you about that when we come back. I am Carell. Don't forget to go to my website, reallycarell.com, where you can support the show through Patreon. We love your little $5 a month donations, so please keep giving them. Please. We need them. We really need them. So give them.
It's TV from a completely different point of view.
yours. It's Life in Segments starring Carell. Seen weekly on Free Speech TV and anytime online at lifesegments.com. Check your listings.
Hey, it's Carell, and I really appreciate you checking me out on radio and podcasting. But, you know, television has always been where my heart is. And that's why I am so happy to tell you that Life in Segments is going strong on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. So tune in each and every week. Now, how about a little sample of what you're missing? It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me. I am coming to you live from the west of Ireland in Lisdenvorna, where they're doing a matchmaking festival, as you know. We got into Dublin on Thursday, and we made the trek across the island to the west, to Lisdenvorna, where we are now. That's why I wasn't with you yesterday. I was en route. We're going to have a lot of great interviews for you. We're going to be talking to a lot of people and going a lot of places. We're also starting Carell Life in Segments Season 2. That's right. Brandon's here with me, and Steve has come along, and so we're starting that in Ireland. Now, as you all know, and if you're new to the show, then you don't know, but as you all know, when I come to the other countries, I like to look at how they're looking at us. And this morning, I awoke, quite frankly, to something that's oh so common for us, but it appears not so common for the rest of the world. There, as you know by now, there has been another mass shooting. 10 people dead, many more injured, at a junior college where, you know, young people are. And it's a horrific, horrific crime. And I woke up this morning, and on the news, I turned on RTE, which is the state television here, and then RT, which is Russian television. As I turned it on, the bottom is what got me. It just, like, stuck me in the heart. It said, another mass shooting as Americans fail to control guns. And I just thought, oh my God, that's how they see these. You know, I read in the papers this morning and online, in yet an all too familiar scene, all of the media now is reporting like it's just commonplace, in yet an all too common scene, or yet again. And we have become completely and totally numb. But people, we have to wonder at some point, because when you look at it from the other side, when you're in another country and you stare back, you look at how really stupid we look. And quite frankly, on the matter of guns, we look absolutely ridiculous. 31% of all gun violence, 31% comes from the United States of America, of which there are only 315 million people out of the 8 billion on the planet. Now, when you look at that number, are we proud of that? Are we happy about that? Is that something we should, oh, look, we have more gun violence? No. But do we do anything about it? No. It's just another news story. 10 more families that have to buy 10 more burial plots, you know, hundreds of relatives that are now missing these. That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.
Hello, I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week. That music can mean only one thing. It's time for Healthcare in America with senior correspondent Donna Smith. Donna, welcome. Let's get right to it.
Thank you. Let's do it.
All right. So Pfizer, pocketing a big tax cut from Trump, ends investment in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's research. Why was this initiated? What's this all about?
Seriously, at a time when arguably they're making more money than they ever have in history, and as we've talked about before, when pharmaceutical companies are more profitable than even oil companies are in this nation. Quite honestly, what Pfizer's trying to argue, and other pharmaceuticals have, is that research and development is just too expensive for the amount of benefit that accrues from having done so. And we know that that is not reality. We know that research and development is expensive, but we also know that a lion's share of that development comes from public dollars, not from private investment. It comes from universities and colleges all over the country doing research work on medications, on disease, and so forth. So it is unconscionable that Pfizer and other pharmaceuticals make the decisions, nope, we're not going to put the money in because the margin of profit isn't what we want on this medication. So many of our baby boomers are going to face this situation either within their families or in themselves and having dementia and Alzheimer's. And here we go with the pharmaceutical companies saying, no, we don't make enough money, so we're not going to advance more profits on this.
Thanks for listening. You can find more information about these topics at nursetalksite.com or nationalnursesunited.org.
This podcast is powered by National Nurses United, the nation's largest union for registered nurses.
You know, I always laugh when I'm out and people go, oh, how can I hear you your show? And I go, there's an app for me. And they act like, no, really, how can I hear your show? And I'm like, no, really, there's an app for me. They can't fathom that the person they're talking to would have an actual app because, you know, who has an app, right? Well, I do. And I really hope that you all have it. 18 different countries have downloaded the Karelcast app, and in some I think they could be killed for having it. I'm really not making that up. Certainly in Chechnya and Russia, where it is actually, maybe I'm on their hit list, who can say? But see what the world is literally talking about in the Karelcast app. You'll get my daily Karelcast heard Monday through Friday. You'll get any video that posts into the YouTube channel. You'll get my Huffington Post articles, access to my website. You'll get ways to donate. Everything is for you right there in the Karelcast app, and there is no in-app purchases. So everything is free. The app is free. Everything inside is free. We are kept alive by your donations, so please be sure to hit that donate button once you go and get the free Karelcast app. It is the Karelcast. I am Karel. So very glad you are joining me. You know, earlier in the show, we talked about this. There's a memo that leaked today. Facebook is having to apologize for it yet again. And it basically said, look, we connect people. And that is the most important thing in the world. We connect people, you know, and that's important. So in this internal memo that this rather young, you know, executive said, this memo suggested that growth was more important than user safety. Meaning, in the memo, in this internal memo, it said, might, you know, someone misuse this and someone die of bullying? Yes. Might this even lead to a terror attack? Yep. But ultimately, because we connect people, that's it. That's the de facto bottom line. And, you know, Mr. Spock in Star Trek, I think, addressed this with sometime the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, that sort of thing. I don't think the world needs Facebook, you know, because we got by without it just fine. As I've started with togetherwith.me, I see that anybody can start a social network. We don't need Facebook. So we got along without it just fine. So therefore, I don't like that logic that, you know, you're so important to the world that if people die because of you, oh, well, you connect them and that's all that matters. No, actually, that's not all that matters. Human life matters more. And I'm sorry that this person at Facebook just didn't see things that way. So I deleted my account about 2 weeks ago now. Couldn't be happier. I don't have to check it anymore, and I don't feel like I'm giving stuff to Zuckerberg. And, you know, I broadcast at my website and YouTube. You can follow me at YouTube, subscribe to me at YouTube, at my website, Really Karel, and, of course, over at togetherwith.me. So that's plenty. That's plenty. I don't need Facebook. I don't need to give Facebook my content anymore. And to put that in a memo, how ridiculously stupid are you as a high-ranking executive at Facebook, you know, that you're going to put in a memo, doesn't matter if people die. We connect people, and that's important. Wow. I mean, wow. In other tech news, you can now use Apple Pay on transit in several cities. Not in the U.S. yet. They're testing it in Shanghai and Beijing. But if it works well here or there, you'll be able to get on a bus or a train and just wave your phone in front of it, and that will be your pass or that will be your fee. You don't have to worry about what the fare is or whatever. You just wave your phone or tap your phone and voila, put your thumbprint on and bam. So that's pretty interesting. I like good technology stories. Let's end with good stories tonight. Let's end up beat and happy and joyous. like Stormy Daniels is. She's gonna be richer no matter what, right? I mean, the book deal, it's going to be millions. You know, just millions. Roseanne reboot sprang from ABC's Heartland strategy after Trump's victory. Oh, yeah, Heartland. Have you seen her surgery? Heartland. Yes, because nothing says trailer park like I've had more Botox than life. Yep, okay. Yeah. Lord. Alrighty. Don't forget that we are supported by you. $5. $5. You just go to reallycorell.com. And we are very happy to take your donations for the wonderful TV show, Life in Segments. And you do that through GoFundMe. Now, all of that is at the website, reallycorell.com. It will all be merging with togetherwith.me. They'll all be the same site soon. Because I really like the interface. I like I can upload photos instantly, blog posts instantly. So can you, by the way. There's a vegan group there that I started, a group for Ember. There's all these fun things that we're doing there. And it's just like-minded individuals who want to have fun. It's togetherwith.me, and I really hope you'll join us if you haven't already. I approve you, by the way. You can't just join. You join, and then it says you have to wait for approval. I'm the approval. Oh, and by the way, Chinese space station is falling out of the sky. It's probably not going to fall on you, is what they say. Probably. Probably. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long as it probably doesn't really hurt anybody. Probably. It's probably not going to fall on. Is that comforting? It's probably not going to fall on you. Gee, thanks.
Watch Life in Segments starring Carell weekly on Free Speech TV and anytime online at lifeinsegments.com. You're listening to the Carell Cast, driving you home or driving you crazy.
Hey, it's Carell, and I really appreciate you checking me out on radio and podcasting. But, you know, television has always been where my heart is, and that's why I am so happy to tell you that Life in Segments is going strong on Free Speech TV and at lifeinsegments.com. So tune in each and every week. Now, how about a little sample of what you're missing? Okay, so if you're driving across Ireland, you get to Moneygall, and there's the Barack Obama Plaza. And I'm making this up. And you go inside, and it's just like, because his great-great-grandfather was from here. And you go inside, and there's this fabulous homage to Obama. And there's a museum and everything there. And it was so cool to see. I loved it. And you know that he has relatives that came from here.
Many generations before.
Great-great-great-grandfather, I think. When you think of Barack Obama, what do you think of?
I wish he was our leader.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Especially over the recent shootings.
Yeah.
His statement that he came out, I was just...
Do y'all laugh at us every time? That we've had one a week since Sandy Hook. Do y'all just look at us and go, what the hell are you guys thinking?
Yes.
And how do you feel about Barack Obama?
I think it's a big positive.
A big positive. And as a president, you think he's been a good guy?
Absolutely, yeah.
And
I admire the Democrats. I think they're the best people for
the
job.
We're trying.
Oh, well.
It's hard with Donald Trump and all this noise.
He's not going to get in.
Well, okay. Let's hope.
He did put in.
I didn't think Bush would be reelected, but there he was. So the simple question is, if I said to you, Barack Obama, what would pop into your mind?
I would say that if Barack Obama ran again, he would cream any other country.
Well, given what we've got running.
That's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic. Well, Hillary, but I mean...
Similar to when people kind of give out about how the Pope has behaved going to see year one.
Kim Davis.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, but still, in the spectrum of Pope, like in a room full of very ugly, annoying people.
Yes.
Who've made big mistakes and really besmirched people.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Obama, similarly... occasionally doesn't strike you as a politician.
Right.
Which I appreciate.
So what do you think of him now that he's winding down?
I think he has had a very tough job.
See the gray hair?
And that's really all I can say
right.
because I'm just kind of not that political.
But when you think about it, you know, he went in with such high expectations and then they just fought him on everything.
Everything. He had no way to do anything.
What about our level of respect for him? Do you think we respect him as much as the rest of the world?
I do not think so.
Me neither.
I do not think he's respected.
Me neither.
I just like that he is more about the people and peace and everyone getting
along.
Getting
right.
along.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even tried to reach across the aisle to John Boehner, who bit off both his hands, you know, who is now retiring because someone dug up some dirt on him somewhere.
And I'll tell you, when Obama...
That's just a sample of what you'll get each and every week at Life in Segments on Free Speech TV, Reverie, Pluto TV, and lifeinsegments.com.